Logic. This is the sweet spot. I'm your host, Mike Alexander. Joining me, as always, the one, the only, Donald Remzowski. What's going on, Alex?
Not too much. I am getting excited to really get into the thick of the PGA Tour season, and I feel like this is kind of the beginning of it.
Yeah, this is one of the first like really notable events. You recognize, obviously the 16th, the par 3 stadium hole. The optics are out there. It's a party atmosphere, coincides with the Super Bowl. A lot of fun to be had around this one.
Yeah, I feel like this event is quickly gaining steam and just in the golf world, but like the mainstream world too. Like, this is where people who don't know much about golf are actually kind of interested, which is a good thing. It's a very good thing because it's making golf cool.
Yeah, and it's so obviously the Waste Management Phoenix Open, it's a party atmosphere. It's the Mardi Gras of the golf world. Definitely a very different feel from Augusta. polar opposites of the spectrum.
I will say this every year, but if you're not that familiar, just go and Google, YouTube the video of, just type in like Tiger Woods, Phoenix Open, and you'll probably, that it'll be the first thing you see, the video of him on the 16th, and it's insane. It's crazy. Just like you see it and you're like, wait, this is golf? This is what they do in golf? this is crazy. And it's really something to be seen.
Yep. And there's some guys that plays into, guys like Phil Mickelson, they love that atmosphere. And then you got guys like Justin Thomas, who I believe this was the event last year where he got into it with a fan, a little verbal exchange, and his play afterwards was, a mixed bag of success.
Yeah, so it can, I guess it can affect people in both ways. You're right. That's a little something to think about.
Yeah. I don't know if you follow Ty Tambo on Twitter, but he put out there, there's enough people in golf Twitter DFS that, we could probably pool our resources and score a suite in the on the 16th hole in one of these years.
That would be pretty sweet, and I do, and I think that's a fantastic idea. Let's do it.
Yeah, just we'll all go in on a nice big Airbnb. Somebody will have to put the credit card down for that. Not it.
What a weekend that would be.
Yep. But so diving in here, hit us with a little bit of the course. We talked about this before we jumped on. My research has basically led me to believe there's not really any one way in. So, I guess that said, that's the show, and good luck, everybody.
Yeah. End of story. See you next week. It's a party. Everyone's going to be drunk, and who knows?
There's a couple edges we might be able to find, though, so hit us with what we're looking with.
No, I definitely agree with that. All right, so we're at TPC Scottsdale in Scottsdale, Arizona, which is quickly becoming, or already kind of has become, a big town for pro golfers. Honestly, like, reading up about it and the people who live there and the reasons they live there kind of reminds me of, like, you could almost compare it to the Jupiter, Florida of the West.
Yeah, like, you're either going to Florida or you're going to Arizona, I feel like,
right,
as a pro golfer.
Which is crazy because I'd be like, I'm going to the Pebble Beach area because there's so many sweet golf courses and the ocean, and I just want to go back there. I think it was like a year ago I was there. But anyway, so we're in Scottsdale, Arizona. TPC Scottsdale, it's just over 7,200 yards, par 71. Like you said, there's no one thing that you really need to focus in on. If you look at stats over the past 1 to 5 years, you could go back way longer than that. It's not necessarily driving distance. It's not necessarily driving accuracy. I hate saying strokes gained approach, but it's like, honestly, strokes gained approach and putting is where all tournaments are ultimately won. So like if you're really, really trying to like dig into stats like this, like those are two obviously very good ones. The greens are going to be really fast, so that's going to change putting. Some guys are used to it, some aren't. They've all seen it before, but there are proven golfers to be better on fast greens. They're going to be a 12 on the stimp meter, which is very fast. Beyond that, it's not a ton of water. You're pretty much, this is like desert fast golf. Your drives are going to run out. Your short game is going to be a lot different because you're pretty much like you're going to see people putting from 15 yards off the green, that kind of thing. And then you got a lot of sand, you got a lot of bunkers out there, which is knowing the course helps. There's a lot of tee shots that you're going to have to place in the right spots to attack pins. We say it all the time, but it's actually important here because if you're driving into a fairway bunker, you're shot on that hole, and there's three par fives. You're going to want to pretty much birdie the par fives, survive on the par threes, and then birdie where you can on the par fours, kind of like always. And I really think, like, looking at some course history, people who know the courses, proven or at least familiar to the point that we would know golfers in the desert-ish climate slash Arizona or ASU grads, which there are many of. And some of those stats I just named, and that's pretty much going to be what I'm thinking about this week.
Yeah, I mean, for me, there's two main things I'm focusing on. One, do I feel like the golfers have shook the rust off that I'm going to be putting into my lineup? You know, they don't have to necessarily have a top 25 recently, but somebody like Bubba, who really struggled both times we saw him, despite looking good as far as the distance, things like that. I may be hesitant on Bubba. And then the other thing is, you can attack this golf course lots of different ways. So is there a way that they can carve this course up? Definitely the big hitters can do it. They've done it before. But a guy like Adam Hadwin, who, he's good in this area. He's good in the desert. He showed last time out at the Desert Classic that even though length was, playing up at that tournament, he finished T2 as a guy who's got, not really any distance. So is it are they do they have a way, a path to victory with their, preferred approach? So
And the other guys like that that immediately come to mind for me, Phil, 2 weeks ago in the Desert Classic, just barely lost to Adam Long, who had like an incredible finish. It was kind of like a Sunday thing, but Phil looked rock solid. Very familiar with this. He's another ASU guy. The ASU guys in this field, Phil, Jon Rahm, Chez Reavie, and then Grayson Murray. Grayson Murray, I am indifferent on, but Phil, Jon Rahm, and Chez, those are all like three great options in my opinion, who will probably be very popular, but I think for good reason.
Yeah, we'll save Phil for the nines, but for sure he's on the list. Let's jump in at the top though. We've got only four studs in the 10K plus range. Jon Rahm, Justin Thomas, Hideki Matsuyama, Xander Schauffele. They all have their merits. What who are you clicking on out of those four?
Yeah, I mean, like I just mentioned Jon Rahm, which is like, it's kind of becoming every week right now. He's like kind of the DJ right now because
Yeah.
DJ is just like off in the Caribbean with Brooks doing God
Living it
knows
up,
what.
yep.
They're
Yacht
living it up.
life.
They'll be back. They'll both be tearing it up, I'm sure, for the majors. But right now we got Jon Rahm here, and I think he's a good option. But 11-5 is kind of your weekly struggle of do I do it or do I not? I know we talked about this. I ended up somehow being full fade Jon Rahm, Justin Rose last week, which is crazy. I had my reasons for Justin Rose, which is funny because he won. And then I didn't really so much have my reasons for Jon Rahm one way or another. I faded them both. It didn't work out. Some weeks you would fade them both and it would be perfectly fine, but not last week. So it's honestly like a coin toss when it comes to that. But I would honestly start here with Hideki, with his ridiculous course history here and his clear coming into form last week. We said it last week. He was at like, yeah, he was priced 8,000 on DraftKings. We said that wasn't going to last, and look, it's not going to last.
We'll see what the jump in price does. He's the third most expensive golfer, so that could push back his ownership from what it maybe would have jumped to.
1-1-2-4.
I mean, it's th this was the one everybody had circled on their calendar last season for him, and it was the beginning of his injury troubles. So, there could also be that, like they might see that WD and confuse it with a an MC.
Yeah, or confuse it with a like, I just didn't feel like playing right now because we got a long season ahead of us. It was definitely injury concerns, and it remains to be seen. But I really think if he liked this course that much 4 years in a row, there's reason for it. And 10-7, that's a pretty good price.
He will be popular, regardless. But yeah, I think you can get away with any of the top three guys. Obviously, makes it a little more of a challenge to build lineups, but there's discounts to be had. And it's another one of these events that's pretty wide open. Anybody can come in and win this one.
For sure. And then like the fourth of that group is Xander, who I will never count out of a tournament ever. But yeah, I mean, I can never make a call on him. You just don't know until you see it. And like he's young enough and been on the tour just short for just small short enough amount of time that like his T17 doesn't exactly stand out, but he is like a world-class golfer now, and that T17 could easily turn into a win, or it can go any way with him right now. But
He's a little above where I'm comfortable with Xander Schauffele, so.
it is a big price. That's definitely true.
All right, then some good names in the nines here. You got Gary Woodland at the top there at 9-9, Tony Finau 9-5, Ricky 9-4, Phil at 9-3, Kuchar 9-2. So yeah, definitely an interesting tier. This is probably where I'm looking to start my lineups. With everything we talked about, but who do you like out of those guys?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy. And like just kind of picking through this nine chunk might really be pretty much where you win or lose this week. And it's funny because stat-wise, Tony Finau is really coming out pretty much on top for me. And then you factor in course history, even like model-wise, like weighting it the same as the rest of the field. And actually, that he's still very up there, but I don't think.
Yeah, I'm gonna be interested to see where he falls. Like, I don't think he's gonna break 20%. It would surprise me if he was below 15, but with both his, he was mega chalk last week, and he let a lot of people down. And then, his course history is terrible, which I don't think matters at this course so much. I mean, good course history is something you would account for, but I'm not gonna hate a guy like Tony Finau, who should be great here, with his distance and everything. Just because of his course history.
Yeah, I kind of want to go back and look at like other starts, at least like West Coast starts, and there's any kind of like comps or anything, it would be very interesting just because three cuts in a row is it's when you start to like think a little something. Like Ricky showed a flash last week and then kind of went right back to like where he goes in that tournament, and it's like it kind of played out the way you almost would think it would play out. So it's interesting. But moving on to others, Gary Woodland was in a playoff last year, ended up winning, so he's the defending champion here, which it's very rare for a defending champion to like really bust, but it's also very rare that he'll go and win again. Of course, Hideki did it the previous 2 years at this tournament, so something to think about there. Webb Simpson, like you said, the rust is a factor. You haven't seen him in a little while. And I am 100% interested in Ricky and Phil.
Yeah, for sure. And you can lump Kuchar in with that. Guys who've done really well here. Their games set up really nicely. Ricky, like, this should be a tournament he's won, and it's not for, whatever reasons. He's choked sometimes. He's put it in the drink in critical spots, which is kind of hard to do here. But it could all come together for him. We haven't seen him win a tournament in a pretty long time, so
Yeah, very long time.
could be this weekend.
Big case of the Sunday scaries, but no, I agree. And then like Kuchar, you mentioned, it's hard to not like him. He's already got 2 wins in this season, but 9,200 for Kuchar is kind of scary. But this is the kind of course you want to see him at. He's Arizona. He's the ASU guy. He's a little older, so whatever that means here, but his ball's gonna roll out. He's gonna be distance wise competitively with everyone else, basically, for that fact alone. And then he's clearly playing very well and has the course history to back it up.
And then with Phil, like, I feel like people are still kind of scared to play him. They maybe weren't paying attention when he, finished second recently, and he started really strong at the beginning of last season as well. So I'm on board here with Phil.
Yeah, me too. I am too. But usually when I'm on Phil is when he'll shoot like a 76 round one, and then
There's
I'm
always that risk that, he puts up like a nine on a certain hole.
yeah. The one thing he's done good for me is a first round leader this year, and it was like my lone Phil bright spot ever. And that I bet him in the match against Tiger, which was awesome until I realized that I placed my bet through 18 holes, not the match, which is just ridiculous because they went into a 3-hole playoff.
The
So,
fine print matters.
fine print matters. Pay attention.
Right, then moving to the eights. I don't love a lot in this range this week. At the top, there's some guys that are interesting. I'll let you take first crack at the eights here.
Yeah, so you mentioned Adam Hadwin. He is, if we're talking course history combined with the few stats I'm kind of trying to zero in on here, he's at the top of my list. With the exception of Jon Rahm, who's coming in at number one right now. But we got Adam Hadwin, who has fared pretty well here over time, not so much last year. We've seen him a bunch this year, and he's done pretty well. I mean, he TA'd at the Farmers. Or sorry, that's Billy Horschel. T2 at the Desert Classic. Yeah, he was in the final group with Long and Mickelson, and I thought he had I thought he had it sealed. And Adam Long kind of like surprised both him and Phil. I don't know if most people thought Phil would end up with it, but that wasn't happening. I thought Adam Hadwin was kind of like the shoe-in come Sunday, but that didn't happen.
I
But
forget who pointed it out, but it's like if Phil is the 36-hole leader, maybe it's 54-hole leader on a West Coast tournament, like, bet the people chasing him, because he just it always happens. Like, he gives it up.
Yeah, which is so crazy because he's got the experience. You don't think he'd have any nerves, but like maybe there's
That
some
wasn't
people
the
that
case.
obviously
Yeah,
like it.
he got, he didn't have a bad round. He had a solid round. It just was not as good as Adam Long's.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it was pretty cool. Adam Long seems like a good guy, and
Yeah,
you can see
he's a
yourself being in a
grinder.
position like he
Yeah.
was, and draining that putt on 18 was like, honestly, so I would have been like on the floor, like I would have been on the ground, like I would have been blacked out in that situation. But it was like a 12 footer right to left, and he just put it right into the back of the hole like it was nothing. So good for him. But anyways, both
Yeah,
Phil and Adam Hadwin
yeah.
in form.
And ownership on Hadwin is probably single digits, 8-9% this week, would be my guess.
Oh yeah, at 9,000, which is like a very highly gettable price too. I mean, you can start with one of those other guys in the nine to add him, and then you're still wide open for the rest of your lineup. You might not be working with a Rom or a JT Hideki, but definitely gettable. So I do like him. And then a couple others I'll name. We already talked about Chez Reavie. I'm gonna stay on him. I'm gonna be on him
Yeah, he's
until
hot right
he.
now.
Yeah. And I feel like the hype might be a little down over the last week, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So I actually really like that. Runner up last year, lost in the playoff to Gary Woodland. And then Andrew Putnam is another guy I want to stay on. The only thing that's kind of missing here is course history for
Yeah.
him.
Yeah, don't hate Putnam. I mean, a little bit above the price range I'd like to use him in. But he is playing well, and he's got a pretty complete game at the moment. So if he struggles in one particular area, he's been able to pick it up on the putting greens or with different parts of his game. You mentioned Billy Horschel. Yeah, I think Billy Horschel's like he's found that gear again, where we saw this in the middle of the season last year. Like all of a sudden, Billy Horschel was like a top five golfer. And it didn't last
Yeah.
long, but it's there right now again, I feel like.
Yeah, he definitely like comes and goes, and it can get real ugly. But I mean, it's going on like a pretty solid chunk of time now that he's been pretty much in form, and 8,800 is it's up there, but it's not so much reflective of, I think, what he's been doing and what we know he can do.
All right, and then another guy a lot of people are talking about is Benayoun. He's a desert specialist, coming over from the Middle East this week, so maybe some jet lag. I'm kind of scared off of old Benny there.
Do you know how he ended up finishing last week?
I think well, but.
I actually meant to look into this in terms of who was coming over. Bryson DeChambeau, by the way, takes down yet another tournament
Yeah.
overseas. Just complete machine. I'm surprised he's not here, to be honest. Like,
Yeah.
he's clearly got enough money in the
Yeah.
bank right now.
I
It's
want to give
like.
Bryson a 1 week like grace period for when he comes over. I feel like that transition's not going to do well for him. The week immediately following his return to the States, but once he's back, I think it's the second tournament, that's all systems go.
He's got to be getting pretty hyped on himself too. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, because if his head gets big at all, mind you, he does not strike me as a guy who's
No.
going to get overly cocky,
No, but
but
I know what you mean. He could,
we'll see. Because he's looking like the best player in the world right now, which is
Yeah, it's
pretty
like it's,
insane.
there's a lot of good golfers going right now.
That's very true. Very true.
Yeah, he finished sixth, I believe, last week. So,
I mean, if he's
not
in
bad at all.
form, yeah, like the travel is always a thing, but I don't hate that. If he is getting a lot of hype, I haven't heard a ton, but if he is getting a lot of hype, I'd probably stay away, because anytime I'm like on him in a nearly chalky situation, it's probably not the best. But been on six T23 past 2 years, desert golfer in form, another guy, it's a Got a lot of things working for him.
All right, then down into the sevens. There's some values here that I really like. I'll start it off. I got Keegan Bradley at 7,800, playing pretty well at the moment, and his stats look pretty good for what he needs to do here. Not great course history, but like I said, I don't care that much about course history for this kind of scenario. What do you think about Keegan?
Keegan is like just he'll put your brain in a pretzel if you think too long. So if you like him, play him. If you don't, don't. But he's playing a lot better over the last 6 months than the previous like 2 years. So
Like Keegan should be 8,800 in this field, not 7,800 is kind of how I feel.
yeah, no, definitely. It was some of the guys above him. You can like his comp would be a little higher than where he is right now. So I definitely agree with that.
And then another guy we talked about pre-show, Abraham Answer, let a lot of people down last week. Missed a three-footer on 18 to miss the cut. Just a brutal way to not get to play any weekend golf. So there's definitely people that are going to hold that against him. And he was just playing too well. I think he is playing too well right now for me to ignore him in this tournament where. I think he's got a great shot for a top 10 finish from 7,700.
He's another guy I want to permanently stay on, and it's like the Reavie answer. I expect them to do big things, and I definitely agree with your assessment there. Him and Harold Varner, who's another guy I'm high on, both missed the cut by a stroke, and
Yeah, I think Varner was the same thing. He missed his last putt to miss the cut.
yeah, and like the margin of cut to not cut there with some of the guys that just barely made it was not that much. Like, obviously, that margin gets bigger the next 2 days, and especially when it turns out to be somewhat of a birdie fest. But I feel like they both of them didn't play overly bad. People might see it a miscut and just be straight off of him. But it's awesome for his price that he's right at
Oh yeah,
7,700
and I
right
mean
now. Like,
he's statting out amazingly. I mean, he's like got top 10 stats with the way he's played the last couple week tournaments.
yeah. It's a very, very good point. A couple names that are standing out to me. These are both kind of, you could say, questionable picks. Brant Snedeker is someone that I was on last week that looked like he was right back there in his form, like he was in the place that he had been in the previous 5 years, doing what he was about to do again, and then kind of just disappeared on the weekend, which was super lame. But he's definitely a West Coaster too, in
That's been
terms
the
of
problem with
his
Snez is
golf game.
like he's got 3 out of 4 rounds and there's one that's just he's like -2, -4, and then he puts up like a +8.
Yeah, and that, yeah, it's truly brutal when you're just like, all right, he's rolling. Oh, never mind. And then he comes back Sunday and like
Yes,
kind
save
of
some
puts it up
face,
again.
but yeah.
Yeah, it saves face, but it's just not enough for really what you're looking for. So that's interesting to me. Daniel Berger's always interesting to me, but I really don't have anything to back that up other than the fact I think he's a much better golfer than kind of where he's been at. He's got good course history to back it up. And then the two names I really did want to mention here, I just didn't want to go without mentioning those two. Tyrrell Hatton, who we have not seen here before, but another guy that I'm just kind of long-term high on. And I think he is a notch above the people that are around him at 7,900.
Yeah,
Like,
that's a good point.
fantastic price. Actually, you know what? Berger was 82. We're in the seven, so I apologize. And then Ryan Palmer at 7,700, coming off two missed cuts here, but he's a Vegas guy who, desert is desert if you ask me. And I'm talking like born and raised, college, current like fully, this is where he plays golf. This is his kind of golf.
He's got the distance.
Yes, I mean, he's got it all. T13 last week, quietly, I might add. I think I really like that pick this week.
Yeah, definitely for a GPP. He's not going to garner too much ownership. I like the Hatton call. No course history, so people are probably getting him buried down here and not highlighting him. But he's definitely a world-class golfer. Couple more names from my end. You've got Brennan Steele, who's usually good on the West Coast swing, so he's a nice cash option at 7,400. You got Lucas Glover down at 7,200.
Yes, that's who I wanted to mention too, Lucas Glover.
Distance guy. Like, he's got good distance. He's played pretty well recently. I believe he had a little bit of an injury last season, so like there's some of that coming into it too. People aren't as high on him,
Him and his
perhaps.
wife made up.
Oh, did they? Excellent.
Yes, and that's all that matters.
And then you got Jason Kokrak. I don't know what it is. I guess it's the distance, but like he's like statting out for me really, really well for this tournament. It's a scary ride rostering Kokrak, but
Always. Were you on him last week?
I might have had one share of him. It was not much. I definitely was afraid to pull the trigger.
Yeah, I think I was around 4% Kokrak, and it just so happened to be a lineup with like four miscuts,
Yeah.
which was unfortunate.
And then last guy would be Sung Jae Im. We've been riding him. Struggled a little bit last week. That's not unexpected for that course and what his game is. I think this is a lot better fit for him this week. And he did well on the North course, if I remember correctly, last week, which is, the course where distance isn't as important. So I could see him digging in and putting some low numbers up. And everything I hear about him is he's a real grinder. He doesn't give anything away on the course, and that's what you're looking for somebody down in the seven, sub 7.5 range.
Yeah, Sung Jae is just like he keeps reemerging. He's here every week, and I think he's got a he's on a mission here. And I long term love him too. He's kind of like I'm long term on Sung Jae, long term on Neiman. I think I'm gonna take a Neiman break, by the way, which is pretty insane. But I actually took a Neiman break last week, and it was looking like a terrible decision for a while and turned out to not be so terrible of a decision. So it's interesting, but 72 is kind of like now him, Harold Varner, and Joaquin Neiman are both 72. So, like, I'm building lineups, I got five guys in there, I end up with 72, 7,300. I'm like, shit. Do I go Sung Jae Im, Harold Varner, or Joaquin Neiman? That's where it gets tricky for me. And honestly, like, on any given week, those are three guys that I really think are capable of doing very well pretty much anywhere. So yeah, I mean, it's a three-way coin toss there. I agree with most of what you said. I want to make a point here. Ryan Moore is the Las Vegas native, Las Vegas alum that I meant to, that was a super rookie mistake on my part, but Ryan Palmer and Ryan Moore both in play in my book.
I mix those guys up constantly, so.
It's insane, but anyway, yeah, Ryan Palmer is from Texas, so it's pretty much the same deal. And then Ryan Moore is the Vegas man for life, but he missed the cut here last year, and it's kind of like he's gotten progressively worse over the past 5 years at this course. But another guy who I just like on this type of course, I like him in the desert. I like him on and pretty much anything shorter and par four kind of revolving. I'm a fan. So we'll have to see. He missed the cut last week. Did not look good, but it's a punt.
All right, then down into the six for the true punts. Let me throw a couple names at you. I don't know who Joel Dahman pissed off at DraftKings, but he's stuck in the sub 7K range, and like,
Forever.
It's ridiculous. Like he was great last week.
He was in the second to last group last week.
I think pulled up here. Ninth. Yeah, finished ninth, T9. So, like that is, it's ridiculous that he's 6,800. Gonna be super chalky, but he stats out really well. He's got distance. Give me lots of Joel Dahman if I'm gonna try and get one of those top guys. And then Sam Ryder, same kind of deal. Not quite as flashy as Dahman has been, but been really solid. He's a young guy. He's been playing well lately. Gonna have ownership, but 6,500, like that opens up so much.
Big time. I really want to see him come back into form because there was a little period of time last year that he was just crushing, and I loved it.
And then my last guy, Anders Albertsen, another rookie, 6,300, but another guy that the stats say play him. So, you're probably gonna see 10%, 12% ownership, but
I think we had some inner lineup logic talk on Albertsen last week, and it kind of brought him to the forefront of my attention. And definitely an interesting person to watch. This is like a strangely, potentially like juicy group down here in the sixes, which is
Like all
interesting.
three of those guys could make the cut for you, and if one of them pops into like a top 10, I almost l really love that right now. Just thinking about it, like a Stars and Scrubs with those three guys scrubbing it, and
Like real quick, let me just kind of go down my list of like, don't take my word for this, but these are the guys that are really standing out to me in terms of under 700 or under 7,000. Yeah, Kevin Streelman, who I'm not loving right now, but he has the strong Arizona ties along with Harris English. Harris English has been bouncing back and forth in my mind. I'm kind of cold on him, but he's there and he's 6,900. You got Charlie Hoffman, Bud Cauley, Joel Dahman, as you mentioned, Jimmy Walker, Chris Kirk, who has like phenomenal course history. He's just missed three straight cuts, but he's normally like a straight shooter. Sam Ryder, Carlos Ortiz, James Hahn, who is another Arizona guy who has some course history here. And James Hahn is 6,400. And then you got Adam Long coming off a victory 2 weeks ago, so maybe he'll be feeling it again. He's clearly playing okay. And he's also 6,400. But some of these names down here, like spend some time down there, think about it, do some research. You got Effa Barnrad at an even 700 at 7,000, which is also kind of interesting.
But yeah, like n normally when you're putting somebody in from this range, it's like you're sweating big time that he's even gonna have a shot at the cut. And I mean, there's guys down here that could win the tournament, Like it's an interesting week for the bottom tier. But all right, let's wrap.
Brian Gay too.
Brian Gay, yeah, he's always
Keep
a nice
that in the
cash
back of your
option.
head.
All right, but let's hit some one and done talk here to wrap things up, Alex. For me, I don't think it's a bad week to use Phil. If you have him probably available if you didn't have the foresight to play him at the Desert Classic, which I'm guessing most people did not. Get him while he's in a groove. At his age, you never know. So I don't mind Phil, and then Hideki, obviously with the history, he's gonna be very popular. But that's one of those like just bite the bullet and play him with everybody else and do well or do poorly.
I really like both of those. I think one other that I'd add, if you haven't spent them already, Gary Woodland is kind of interesting.
Yeah, for sure, defending champ.
But Hideki and Phil both, like Phil, they're kind of both guys that can like compete in majors, but if you're taking the save a guy for the big tournaments approach, like you're probably saving more of like the DJ Rom
Yeah,
JT
JT. Yep.
type crowd. So yeah, I like all of those.
Right, guys, that's what we got. Good luck this week. You can get Alex on Twitter at Donald Remington. I am at Roto underscore Juan. You can subscribe to Lineup Logic at patreon.com/lineuplogic. $10 a month gets you everything you need to be prepared for PGA DFS, among other things, NBA DFS. We got it all over there. So give it a click. No commitment, just month to month. But otherwise, may the sports be with you.